A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst, the trailer booking and Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, a West Ham United, more than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is More Than Just a Podcast. We're back for a one-off special part of our series of interviews, Nigel Kahn's interviews with former West Ham players. This is number three. Earlier this week, Nigel caught up with a West Ham player called Eddie Bovington, who had a FA Cup winners medal from 1964, if some of you remember that. He actually started at West Ham Youth with Bobby Moore, who he considered one of his mates, and he made over 180 appearances with West Ham. But let's not me explain it. Let's Nigel explain it in his interview with Eddie Bovington. Enjoy.
Today, I'd like to welcome to More Than Just a Podcast special West Ham interviews. A player that played for West Ham in the 60s and was a member of the FA Cup winning team of 1964. His name's Eddie Bovington. Welcome, Eddie.
Thank you, Nigel. Pleasure.
We'll start at the beginning. Ed, you joined West Ham as a youth player.
Yes.
1957, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
I mean, what was the process you went through? Who scouted you and you join?
I was playing Sunday morning football and Saturday afternoon football for youth teams. And the Saturday afternoon team was run by a chap whose son also played. And he got spotted by West Ham. He went for a trial at West Ham, his son, Alan. And they said, have you got any other boys in the team that might want a trial? So he put me forward. I went for a trial on a Friday night at Green and Sally Wears at Wanstead against Fulham. And then that was in April. I was still at school then. And then they asked me to co-training of an evening when the season started, which I did do. And then eventually they asked me to go on the ground staff.
Was you still at school, or was it just as you left
school? I left school after that game. I left school. After that first game, I left school in the May and June. I was in the fifth. I was 16 at the time.
Right. So when I mean, we hear a lot of this word. You joined the ground staff. What did that entail? It's something we don't really hear about now.
Well, we were split up into groups. We were two groups. One day you trained, and one day you did work on the ground. So we alternated between the two groups doing work. On a Monday, we'd be sweeping the ground with all the litter that was there. In the summer, we would be doing, and also on Fridays, we'd be doing the dressing rooms for Saturday games, cleaning them up, polishing them up, cleaning the baths and the showers. And the other day, you would train.
Who was the coach at the time?
Bill Robinson.
Bill Robinson.
Yeah.
Good coach?
Old school. Bit of a bruiser as a player. He was a centre forward, old school. He came from Hartlepool, and he was in charge of the youth team. He was enthusiastic.
I mean, who was you in the youth team with? Any other players of note that we would know?
Well, all the boys, Bobby Moore, Jeff Hurst, Tony Scott, John Cartwright, Mickey Beasley, Harry Cripps, Andy Smiley, all the boys that were there, those, and these boys that I went, I felt quite inadequate. They'd all played for counties and England, and I felt quite inadequate at the time.
I mean, you made the, it must have been a good, I mean, we've got Bobby Moore, everybody knows Jeff Hurst. Harry Cripps went on to play for Millwall.
That's right, yeah.
Became a Millwall legend.
Yeah. Johnny Cartwright, he went on coaching, he coached at the Arsenal under Don Howe, and he was also England, I think, youth team coach. I think he went abroad quite a bit. He was involved with the FA quite a bit, Johnny Cartwright. He left us and went to Crystal Palace.
You got to the Youth Cup final,
yes.
1959.
That's correct, yeah, against Blackburn Rovers, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've read the reports. It looked like we could have been, or you could have been a member of the first team to win the Youth Cup for West Ham. We'd previously lost it 2 years before, a bit before your time.
Yeah, it's against Manchester United, yeah. Yeah, we should have won, really. Jeff Hurst didn't play in the first leg at home. We drew 1-1, I'm not sure. 1-1.
Drew 1-1, yeah.
And we lost 1-0, I think, up there.
After extra time.
Yeah, yeah, they had a good side. They had Mike England played for them. Who was a centre forward? Fred Pickering, centre forward, who all had good careers for England, and Mike England played for Wales, didn't they?
Yes, and managed them.
Yeah, and Newton, a full-back, played for England. They had a decent side. It was a very hostile crowd up there as well. I think they had about 10,000 in the ground there, which is quite good for a youth team game those days.
I mean, I don't know if you remember it, the report I seen. I mean, it went to extra time. West Ham actually missed the penalty.
Yes.
Can you remember that?
Yeah, I don't know who it was, though.
No.
I don't know. It was a long time ago.
Yes.
I could find out, but I don't know.
I mean, at the time, playing with the youths, did you think progression to the first team, is it something that every player thought would happen, or was you always aware that only a handful made it?
Well, what used to happen was you played for the youth team, and if you played for the A team,
yeah.
And then you would just progress from there to the combination team, and then hopefully you'd get in the first team. But there was loads of boys who were much better than me as youth team players who never made it. For some reason, they didn't progress. I went the other way around. I was not a great starter, but ended up being not too bad.
A late developer.
Yes, yeah, definitely. And it's all down to luck all the time. You know, if you get your chance, you've got to take it, and on the day you get your chance, if you don't do any good, especially today, it's even worse today, isn't it? You don't even get a chance to get in the first team.
Yeah.
That's the problem today.
Yeah. Ted Fenton was the manager.
He was.
I mean, he'd been an ex-player for the club.
Yep.
When you joined, he'd been manager for 7-8 years.
Yes, yes.
West Ham got promoted around the time you joined the club as well, into the first division.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Could you see the big change? Because really, that's where the West Ham way, the seeds were sown. Could you see the change happening at the time? Or
well, I never knew who West Ham was before I went there, to tell you the truth. I lived in North London in Edmonton. I was a Tottenham and Arsenal boy. You know, they were teams I supported. And when I got a trial, I didn't even know how to get to West Ham to go over the trial. But after that first season, then they got promotion. And that was amazing, really. But, you know, the players were very, very tactically aware. Noel Campbell, Malcolm Ellis, who was involved in it, but he didn't play many games because he was ill. But John Bond, they was all boys that thought about the game, and they put it together themselves, really. Ted was just the father figure that just held it together.
So, I mean, the general saying from around that time was that a lot of the professionals in the first team took part in the youth coaching.
Yeah, they did, because when I first went, we used to go down on Tuesday and Thursday nights, and they used to take in turns to do coaching the youth team, the youth boys who were part-timers as such.
Was it all first-team players?
Pardon?
What first-team players would...
Malcolm Allison, Noel Campbell, that's what I can remember. And at that time, National Service was still going on. A lot of boys were... were on national show used to come and train overnight with us as well.
Right.
They were based at Woolwich, the boys on national service, fortunately for them. So they was home, they used to go home every night.
Right. Right. So it wasn't like they were billeted away.
There was quite a lot of rivalry between local units with football. So they all tried to get the best players playing for them. And the fella down at Woolwich, he used to have some pull with the military, and he used to get all the top players.
You finally get chosen to make your debut.
Yeah.
Under Ted Fenton.
No, Ron Greenwood.
Ron Greenwood? You made your debut against United.
No, sorry. No, you're right. Yeah, Ted Fenton, yes.
Yeah, Ted Fenton.
Yeah, yes, up at Old Trafford, yeah.
I mean, you was about 18, 19 at the time, making your debut.
Yeah, I was 18, yes.
Yeah. I mean, what are your memories of that day? I mean, going up with Man United were a big club to start with.
Yeah, also, about a year after the Munich disaster, wasn't it?
Yes, a couple of years after.
I was pretty nervous that day, that's for sure. And it was a marvellous place to play, and playing against players you only ever dream about, you know, Bobby Charlton and Dennis Violet at the time. It was just surreal, really. And then we were 3-1 up as well.
All right.
And then we got beat 5-3.
5-3, yes.
Yeah. But it was an unbelievable experience to play. I didn't play again for quite some time after that.
Well, your next game came after a change of manager.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
I mean, when Ron came in, did he take interest in the younger players?
Yes, he did, yeah. He was pretty, well, he was hands-on, wasn't he, Ron? Although him and I never got on very well, he was still... He was quite a bit before his time with his coaching methods. He was very astute and very, very tactically aware all the time. And he instilled it into us.
Was there a noticeable difference between Ted Fenton and Ron Greenwood?
Yeah. Ted didn't do any coaching. He wasn't a coach. Ted was more like an office manager than on the ground. And Ron was used to do all the training himself.
So Ted would be more like a more modern-day director of football in a way, then?
That's a very fair assumption, yeah. He would have been, yeah. Yeah. He had a good air about him, Ted. He was smart and he was astute, but he wasn't a football man, a pure football man as such.
Now, you've got back into the team, 1961, as we said, you came in.
Yeah, I played a couple of more games. I was in and out most of the time for quite a while.
Yeah. You still, what position was you playing then?
Well, it was our right half position, defender.
I
took over from Andy Malcolm, really.
All right, Andy Malcolm, who was the first hammer of the year.
Yes, yeah.
So he was quite a good player to come in and replace.
Yeah, he was. I played a few games and Martin Peters came in after me. Well, you know the story, don't you? Go on, you want to ask any more questions before I tell you about Blackburn?
Yeah, I mean, you came in 62.
Yeah.
And then you seemed to settle into the team, but then you was, as you said, throughout your beginning, early career, you seemed to be in and out.
I was, yeah. We'd have a couple of wins and then we'd get beaten and I'd be dropped. So that was the way it was at that time.
I mean, you said earlier about Ron Greenwood, you never got on with him.
I never got on with him. Now, the first year he came, the end of the season came, and he wouldn't offer me any more money. And I stuck out. I wanted another £4 a week and he wouldn't give it to me. So he put me on the list. And nobody came in for me, and we started training. I was training pretty well, and then eventually gave it to me what I wanted, and it was all right then. But we never hit it off after that, really.
So you finally come in 1964.
63.
January. 63. Yeah, you came in 63
after the Boxing Day game.
Yeah. So you was in and out in.
That's right.
I'm looking at his stats now. You've got a few run-outs.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, yes.
West Ham had the Boxing Day defeat against Blackburn at home, which was
it 8-2?
8-2, yes. Yeah.
8-2. I mean, you must have seen the game.
We always went to the games if you weren't playing, unless you were playing in the reserves, obviously. But no, I was at the game, yeah. And then we had the return, I think, two days later. And on the way, we got up there, and I went with them. And we got there, and we sat in the night before having a meeting. And he said, he read out the team, and I was playing. He just made one change from me for Martin. And it wasn't Martin's fault we got beat, really. It was just one of those things. I was good at marking, and he wanted me to mark Brian Douglas, which I did do, because he'd run right at Upton Park. And then I played the next week. It was an FA Cup game against Charlton, and I stayed in for the rest of the season.
I mean, coming back quickly to the Blackburn game, literally 2 days after getting beat 8-2 at home, you go to Blackburn and win 3-1. Having watched the first game, and now you're playing the second game, what was the change?
Well, the change, because I followed Brian Douglas everywhere, didn't let him have the ball. And that was what he put me in for, so you know I could do a job. Martin couldn't do that. Martin was a creative player. Yeah. But it wasn't his fault we got beat. It was the whole team were played terrible that day at home. And he just ran right at Brian Douglas. And that was the only reason that we beat them the following day, or 2 days later.
So you come back in. The next game you're playing is the FA Cup third round.
Yeah, Charlton against Charlton, yeah. That's right. Upton Park, yeah. And then it went from there, really.
Did you think the name was on the cup after that? Can you remember much?
No, because we played all right in the next game, I think it was, and we were lucky to beat them, really.
Yeah, it was after a replay.
Yeah, I think we drew one each down there. I think we only won 1-0 or 2-0 at home. It was a bit of a struggle, really.
The big game, I suppose, before the final, was the Manchester United semi-final. Now, strange facts would happen. The week before, Man United had beat us 2-0 at home.
That's right, yeah.
Before the semi-final.
With almost the reserve side they'd put out, really.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Well, I mean, in the semi-final, the weather was terrible. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, the week before the game at Upton Park, they put out about five or six reserves, and they beat us 2-0. And as we come off, the goalkeeper, David Gaskell, said to one of the boys, "I won't bother turning up next week." we thought likewise as well, really.
Yeah.
We're pretty despondent. And so we had nothing to lose when we went up there. It just all clicked for some reason. They were so cocky beforehand that the Dagenham Gold Pipers were there under the stand waiting to go out to perform on the pitch. And they were chatting them up, all the Man United players, and we were shitting ourselves, really. they were overconfident. I think they were about 3-1 on to win or something like that, some silly price.
Was the pitch a level of that day? Because it looked, I mean,
well, the pitches were always like that all the time, mainly in the winter time. But not like that today, are they? They're like billiard tables today. It was just, you just used to play in those conditions. It was just, everything just seemed to click for us that day. Everything seemed to go right.
All right, so we now go forward to the final.
Yeah.
West Ham are now the favourites.
Yeah.
So we're playing Preston North End.
Yeah, and one down.
And, and we go down, one down.
We went 2-1 down, didn't we? Or did we go 2-1 up?
I can't remember now. It was 2-1 down, yes.
Yeah. I know we were pretty despondent because we thought this is unbelievable. It was a bit of a shock, really. It was like us playing United in the semi-final. You know, we were probably a bit too confident, I think.
I mean, when Ron sets the team out, did he used to go through the opposition? Would he point out here? Because the thing is, you wouldn't have played Preston that season, so would you know much about them?
No, not really, no. I think he sent Bobby and Johnny Byrne up to watch him for one game when we were playing Everton, I think, the week before. That was all, I think, anybody looked at them. But we knew they were a decent side to get where they did in the final. They had some good players.
Yeah, I mean, Howard Kendall.
He
was just a 17-year-old then.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. With that boy, I forget his name, was it Appleton or something, the left half, or Ashworth, I think. Or he fell out with the manager over something the week beforehand. And so he put Kendall in. Who, as you know, turned out to be a very, very good player.
Yes. With the last, virtually near enough the last touch of the game, Ronnie Boyce
edging
the winner.
Yeah.
Dream come true?
It was, but we never had a chance to really appreciate the win because as he scored, but I mean, the whistle went, so we weren't like winning and thinking we won the cup. It was all over too quickly.
Yeah.
Then they bundle you up and get the cup. You do one lap with a pitch and you're back in the dressing room. Is that what it's all about? It seems like that anti-climax.
Do you not remember? Because a lot of players say that the game actually does go past very quickly when you're playing in those games. You don't appreciate it.
No, you
till later.
You don't. Yeah, you know, I just it was surreal really because you think you're going to extra time. You're all tired, and then the winner pops up, and you're off the pitch. It's gone.
Next season.
Well, probably the best part of the whole weekend was the bus tour around the East End with the cup.
Yeah. Do you remember that well?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. There's crowds everywhere from Allgate right the way through down to East Ham Town Hall, Stratford Town Hall, and East Ham Town Hall.
Yeah.
It was a marvellous morning.
I mean, would you say that was a dream come true as a kid? I mean, the FA Cup back then was...
Yeah, well, yes, it was, yeah. I mean, you never ever think you're going to play in an FA Cup. You dream about it, but it was unbelievable. For somebody of my standing, because I wasn't a top player, I was an average player, so it was even better for me.
Yeah.
I appreciate it probably more than the others did.
I mean, just to put a note, I mean, I think there's been nearly 900 players play for West Ham. But only 32 have ever got an FA Cup winners' medal.
You're
keeping some good company there.
You're
just an average player, to be fair.
Yeah, it was a wonderful day, wonderful weekend.
The best bit about winning the cup, possibly, you get to play in Europe the next season. Bit of tweet for you.
Because I played that next season. I was in the team regular. I didn't miss a game up until March. We were due to go to Lausanne to play in the quarter final and be playing Sunderland on the Saturday, and I fractured my kneecap. So they went off to Lausanne on the Sunday, and I'm sitting on the treatment table. Pretty upset. I didn't know I'd broken it. I thought I just had a slight contusion there, and I went to the hospital. They said it was all right, just keep exercising it. It got no better. They went off to Lausanne. On the third, they went back for another x-ray and they found out I fractured it. So I was in plaster then. So that was my season finished.
And that was it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, did you get to go to Wembley? You played in four games in that campaign. Did they award medals to players that?
No, there's no substitutes or anything like that. No, only the 11 got a medal, which is right, really. If you don't play, you shouldn't get a medal, should you?
Well, personally, I find that, and I'll tell you why, because at the end of the day, you've played in the first rounds.
Yeah, but if you don't play in the final, I mean, that's for the final.
If you don't get to the final, if you've helped get to the final, in some way that should be acknowledged.
Well, I wouldn't feel that you've earned it.
You've achieved it, personally.
I was at the final. I went to the semi-final against Zaragoza with the team a week out with them. And that was nice. But it's pretty galling. I might not have played anyway in the final, but what might have been all the time, isn't it? You think that?
Yeah, I mean, when you came out of the team, who came in for you?
Martin Peters came back in the side, and he was playing left back instead of Jackie Burkitt. Because I played every game, actually. I played 33 league games, all the cup games, but we've knocked out pretty early, and the European games. And Martin was playing left back. And when I broke my fractured my kneecap, Martin went back to right half, and Jackie Burkitt came back in. So it was Jackie who had the benefit of me getting injured, really.
So, I mean, Martin Peters, was there a competition for your spot, did you think? Because obviously, it possibly did.
Look, Martin was a different player from me. Martin was a World Cup winner, classy player. Somebody roughed people up, really. But Martin was a productive player, elegant, and scored goals. We were different players. He needed me sometimes, Ron, to do things that Martin couldn't do, but I couldn't do the things that he did at all.
Yeah. So, as a player, you knew your limitations.
You concentrated
on that rather than...
I was an out-and-out defender.
Yeah.
I had no skill going forward as such to score goals. Although, no one ever sort of encouraged to go forward. But Martin was that type of player who did.
I think his nickname was the Ghost, was it?
No, we were different players. Different players, entirely.
There would have been obviously a squad of players, so 11 get to play because there was no subs back in 65.
Yeah.
Did you all go to the final?
All the boys that were on the periphery of playing all went. Yeah, it was about 16, 17 of us went. And then there was the banquet afterwards, which was nice. And that was it.
I mean, was it bittersweet? Was it something that you thought, I'd love to have been part of?
Yeah, of course.
That's a bit of a stupid question, really.
I'd imagine
if I was you, I'd have been sitting there a bit gutted, actually, to not taking part.
Well, to think that I knew where I'd come from.
Yeah.
I think I could have played two games at Wembley in the space of 12 months. Well, I might not have played in it. I might have got dropped. You don't know, but you think if you played all the games so far in the season that you would have had a chance of going all the way. It was, it's pretty galling, really, but that's what sport's about, isn't it?
Yes. One man's misfortune is another man's fortune.
Plenty of other players have missed out worse than me on things. And there was four of us who played in the cup final that didn't play in the European Cup final. Johnny Byrne, he had a ligament trouble, so he didn't play. He missed games after that.
But then Alan Seeley come in for him.
Yep. He came in and scored twice. That's the way football is, isn't it? It's like all sport. Yeah. You take your opportunity.
Was it a tight-knit group of players? Did you used to socialise together?
Some of us did. There was always a couple of factions in a group of people like people who work in a factory in there. You match up with like people the same ilk as yourself, which was the social crew.
Who was your best friend then at West Ham where you played?
I don't know. I used to knock about with Bobby and Johnny Byrne quite a bit. The alcoholic crew, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot different back then to now. Would you say that the players Was there a drinking culture? Or?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, every club had a drinking culture somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
It was. But, I mean, I never abused myself during the week. I was a weekend drinker. I'm still the same now, binge drinker, weekends.
Right, yeah. So after the game, basically.
After games, yeah. A few of the boys used to be out in the week, but I never did that. I knew I couldn't do it.
Yeah. 1966.
Yeah.
Obviously, you came back into the team at the start of the season, or 65-66 season. So you got your place back in.
Yeah.
And again, you played near enough the whole season. Back into Europe before we lost in the semi-final.
Yeah, but I was in and out again. I was in and out, really. He brought me back for the semi-final. He brought me back for the final of the year, League Cup. Yeah, I played the first eight games. He dropped me for the final, first leg against West Brom, and brought me back for the return. And we still got beaten that. That was my swan song, I think. I didn't do much after that.
Yeah, it's as you said, your career was one where you seemed to come into the team
and out of the team. I used to get drafted in after a few defeats, and then we'd win a couple and we'd have a few defeats, I'd get drafted out again.
Do you think that came down to your relationship with Ron?
No, I don't think so, really. No. I wouldn't say that, really, no.
I mean, Ron's always seen as a good coach. Was he a good manager?
No, he wasn't.
Do you think?
He never ever said it to anybody, well done, or put his arm over and said, oh, give you confidence or anything. You know, didn't boost you up at all, which all sports are, any, you know, whatever sport, you all need arm round you saying you can do a job for me, or you can do this and that. And he never did to any of the boys. He never ever said to Bobby, well done, and much at all. He was always at loggerheads with Bobby, so he had his favourites, Ron, who he liked, and I think people who stood up against him, he wasn't too happy with. But I don't think that clouded his judgment over the picking the team.
Right, so it was never personal. It was
no,
always...
I don't think so. No, you'd be kind of nose to spite your face, wouldn't you, really?
Yeah. No, I mean, there's always stories nowadays of managers falling out with players and they never get picked, no matter how good they are. So.
Well, sometimes if you don't get on with somebody, you might try and gloss over their better points and pick out their bad points more. I don't know. Maybe that's what happens, bit of a personal thing. But I don't think it's personal as far as I'm concerned. It's just that one of those things, I probably wasn't good enough at the time to play the way he wanted me to play. You know, he wanted pure football, really, and I was someone who roughed people up.
I mean, this is a story that I've been told. It was after you, but this is what I was told summed up Ron Greenwood. But when they signed John Cushley from Celtic...
Cushley, yeah.
He was a bit of an odd player, probably like yourself, and that he would go over the top in a tackle. And Ron Greenwood actually said to him, "Don't do that. We don't play like that here."
I heard that. But he signed him, and he made two signings that close season: Bobby Ferguson, the goalkeeper, and Cushley.
And
they weren't up to scratch.
Yeah. When you say up to scratch, I mean
they weren't good enough.
Yeah, I mean, is that because Cushley, I mean, I don't know what Scottish football it was before my time, so he didn't last long, did he, to be fair?
He was a reasonable player, but he wasn't a good player. But he thought he'd signed two top players, and Bobby Ferguson, he wasn't a good goalkeeper either.
Yeah.
You know, the only decent, he signed Billy Bonds as well, who was the one who won great success.
Yeah. That's correct. Yeah, Bonds come in 67.
Yeah.
67,
wasn't it? Yeah.
67, yeah.
Yeah,
he came in.
I played in the day when he made his debut. We played the first game, I think. I can't remember now who we played, but Bobby Ferguson threw a goal in.
Sheffield Wednesday.
Sheffield Wednesday, yeah. Yeah, of course he didn't play very well. We got beat, I think, 3-2, I think it was.
Yes.
I got dropped for the Monday night game, and I hardly ever played after that because I tried to stick his club up his arse.
Right. This is what I was going to get to, because you literally, it seems, played one game, two games a month, and in December you play your last game for West Ham against Sheffield Wednesday. You get beat 4-1.
Yeah.
You never play for West Ham again's first team, but then you retire.
Yeah, I had a contract. After the European Cup final, my contract was up, and went in to see him, and offered me a slight increase, so it's not enough. I asked for what I wanted, and he said, well, if you want that, you have to sign a four-year contract with 2 years with a two-year option. So the 2 years were up with the contract and the two-year option. He wanted to get rid of me, and I wouldn't go. I said, I'm going to sit the contract out. And we had a bit of a barney about that. And then he eventually said, see your contract out and carry on as you are. So that was it. I packed up when I was 28.
I mean, the one thing when I was doing my research about you that interested me was about you packing up at 28.
Yeah.
At that age, you're at the peak of your footballing career, or that's generally the assumption, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. You chose to stop playing and then go into the family business?
That's right. Well, I started working part-time before that, on afternoons. Yeah. I would see what was going to happen, so that's what I did, and start to learn the business, and that's why I ended up doing the 2 years FEMA timeout, using them rather than them using me.
You didn't want to carry on
I never had any top teams coming for me. I think Portsmouth, Colchester, went up to Colchester, so Colchester, and I'm not having this, and I just thought I'm going to pack it in now.
Yeah, it's a bit of a, it was almost as if it was like West Ham or no one, basically, or top flight football or no.
That was the answer, top flight football. There's no point playing third division, was there? Just dropping down through the divisions, and no enjoyment in that, really. If I hadn't started working in the business, then that's what I was about to do. Because, you still got to earn a living somewhere or other. So I was fortunate enough to be in that position that I could just turn my back on it.
Yeah, what was the family business?
Clothing business, retail
clothing
shops, yeah.
So you finally retire.
Yeah.
You managed to play. I've got your stats here, just so you know, in total, 184 games. Which is a fair tally. Only two goals, though.
Yeah.
Can you remember your two goals?
Are you joking?
I want you to tell me, because I know what they are.
Well, no, the first one was against Notts Forest, an evening game. I remember it like it was yesterday. I don't know what happened. I went up for a corner, and the ball dropped in front, and I just smashed it in. And the other one was in the semi-final of the League Cup against Cardiff, Upton Park, and when we beat them 5-1, I think it was.
Oh,
just first crossed
the
ball, and I headed it in. And Bob Wilson was in goal. I can tell you anything about the goal. Bob Wilson was in goal for Cardiff. Bob Wilson was playing for the Arsenal.
Yeah.
And that was the other goal.
Oh, and now I do generally ask this question, so which one's your favourite?
I suppose.
Take your pick.
I suppose the header was the best one, really. But that could have gone anywhere.
Right. Okay. All right. So that brought the
curtain. I wasn't Jimmy Greaves. I'll tell you that.
No. He wasn't. No.
You don't have to agree with me so much, you know. Give me a bit of an argument if you like.
Well, look, the way I would say it is that Steve Potts played 400 games for West Ham and only got one goal.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
And that was a shot through the goalkeeper that the keeper docked through his legs.
Did
he?
Oh, dear,
every
well.
Keeper would have saved.
Oh,
so,
I've got one over,
you know, 100% better records for goal scoring in 50% less games. So.
Yeah, well, we'll make a note of that then.
Did you, I mean, this might be a bit of a silly question. Did you miss football when
no.
it finished? Was there
No, I didn't. I missed the camaraderie of the dressing room.
Yeah.
That's the most thing. No, I didn't miss football. I went back to playing Sunday morning football again for a couple of seasons.
All right. So So, you must have kept in touch though with the players. You built up good friendships.
I didn't really know. I just cut myself right off. Once you're out of this scene, you're out, aren't you? You know, they don't think about you. It's just at the end of the day, people think a football club they're all everybody's mates. No, it's just like a factory or an office. You don't get on with everybody. You can't do it. It's impossible.
Yeah.
You know, come Saturday, you all gel together. But after that, you got your own ways.
No.
That's what I always did. Apart from when I was playing, when we used to have the social bit, which was nice.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So I've got a few questions there, generally. Not so much about the same. So, as a kid, you grew up in Edmonton, North London.
Yeah.
You can answer this question if you want. What team did you support as a boy?
Arsenal. You want to know the reason why?
Yeah, go.
Well, my uncle took me there. It was the first game I ever went to see, and that was my allegiance after that. Although I used to go to Tottenham a lot as well, because I lived within walking distance of Tottenham.
Yeah.
But Arsenal, and it's still my club, Arsenal. I still look for them first.
Favourite player as a child?
As a child?
Yeah. Did you have any heroes? Did you want to be anyone when you played football in the playground? Or?
No, I don't think so, no. No. Well, probably the most famous player about then was Stanley Matthews, I suppose, wasn't he?
At that time, yeah.
I was never going to be Stanley Matthews, that's for sure.
No. Any regrets?
Regarding what, football?
Yeah, football.
No, I can't have any regrets about becoming a professional footballer. You can't, people would give their right arm to play football for a living.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful opportunity. And, you know, I've never had a proper job, really. I've never got to work as such in a factory or in an office. So I was there for 12 years at Upton Park. Then I went to work in the shop for 30 years. And then I went and worked for a pal in a factory doing odd jobs. So I never had a proper interview for a job or anything. So I've had a pretty lucky life, I think, in a way.
Yeah. That's a good way to be, really, isn't it? If you can look back, that's what
I've no regrets about my life whatsoever, what I've done.
All right. Last question then, which I've just lost. All right, this is the last question.
Okay.
If I could give you one game to play again, what would it be?
Blimey. I suppose the FA Cup final.
Yeah, boys' home dream.
Yeah. I mean, Wembley was Wembley. It's not like it is now, is it? You know, you only ever played there. You've got to play, unless you're international, you only ever play there once a year. Now they're playing, even non-league clubs play there for these playoff things, don't they? It's not the...
Well, I was there Wednesday night.
Was you? Yeah, but I mean, Wembley was the place to play finals. If you played you only ever played Ringland or played in a cup final there. And, the pitch was so much different from what we played on every week. So the old stadium, the atmosphere was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I used to dream as a kid of playing there. When it happens, you walk up that tunnel onto the pitch, you can't believe it. You have got a pinch yourself thinking, is it really me playing here? It's just a boy's own dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I lived the dream in that respect, so it was wonderful.
Well, Eddie, I'd like to thank you for taking part in this series.
It's a pleasure. If I can help you in any way in the future, just give me a call. You've got my number. If you want to know anything, just give me a call, please.
Lovely. Thanks a lot for that, Ed. I'll be in touch. Thank you.
All right. You're very welcome, Nigel.
Cheers, mate. Good luck.
Yeah. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Bye.
There you go. Thank you, Eddie, and thank you, Nigel, for that fascinating insight into the 50s and 60s. I'm sure we'll be back with another one. We've got plenty more interviews lined up. Nigel will be recording again very soon after his return from Bonnie, Scotland, where he's holidaying at the moment. But for now, that's it. Bye.
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. be more than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.